B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour Friday, special football Friday, and a special hour because we bring in the man who joins us every Friday from 4 to 5, brought to us by Landis Blockage and Jaw-Dropping Backyard Paradise, online at LandisBC.com, and they also bring us the entire 4 o'clock hour. The great Brian Westbrook joins us. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How you doing,
my friend? All right, now, B. West, I got to think that you're totally on board with an offensive game plan this week that includes the run.
I'm on board every single week with an offensive game plan that includes the run. I really am. And I know a lot of people have said they moved the ball and all that. And that was great. Last week that worked for the offense last week. But there is a part of the game that you got to punch somebody in the mouth. And that's the physical side of the game. And so that's where the run game comes into play. Even if you want to throw the ball in third and fourth quarter, if you have defensive linemen tired because they've been punching them off early in the game with the run game, that's to your team's advantage. And so, yeah, I've been always a big proponent for teams running the football.
You know, the numbers are clear that they're not a great passing team right now because they've only scored touchdowns and field goals 37% of their drive. They don't pass block well also, but they are pretty decent at run. Now, it's not a big sample size, but they rate first in rushing yards before contact. And they're the only team in the league with a mark of higher than 4 yards in this category. So why don't you think they have adhered to this?
Well, Nick Sirianni, he likes to throw the ball. I mean, he's a down-the-field type of guy. I think Jeffrey Lurie wants that. They want to put the ball in the quarterback's hands and allow the quarterback to control the game, which is weird because Jonathan Taylor last year got a lot of carries. Nyheim Hines last year got some carries. And maybe Nick Sirianni at this point doesn't seem like they feel like they have that same type of offensive game plan. But I tell you, I think there is an advantage for you for a team that runs the football. You make a defense play different things. You make a defense play honest, not just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And so, you know, there is some benefits to running the football. We all know what they are. I'm just not sure that Nick Sirianni is all trying to do that at this point in his career.
Well, how about this week, though? I mean, the numbers would indicate that really, and even Andy Reid, as much as he liked to pass, when the numbers were in his favor and when people kept yearning for it, he finally gave into it.
Well, but Mike, we also got to be realistic. Just because another team ran the ball well against the Carolina Panthers does not mean that we're going to run the ball well. Just because another team can get you 4 or 5 yards a carry, that doesn't mean that we're going to be able to do that. And we also got to understand there. It takes patience as far as offensive game caller to be able to commit to the run and stick with it. We haven't seen that from Nick Sirianni, and after 4 games. Do you think that we're going to see that this week?
Yeah,
this week that we're going to see it?
You're probably right about it. I'm just saying that the way to attack this team this week looks like it should be get more involved with the run and use one of the weapons that you have, who really hasn't touched the ball a lot. When you look at this game and you've measured, like, you know, Carolina was a little overrated, I think, but they're home and they're just a 3-point favorite. I think the Eagles have a really good chance, and really, this for me, it's almost a must win because of the lack of wins that I can see on their schedule.
Well, it's going to be a tough football game. They have a very good defense. You're talking about speed, guys that can run around, tackle. They're aggressive. I think they're a well-coached team with Matt Rhule down there. When I looked at the schedule, I thought that this was going to be a win. I didn't realize that the Panthers are going to be, especially on the defensive side of the ball, this good. I think they're better than most people expected on the defensive side of the ball. And so I had it penciled in as a win. I don't think for this Eagles team there are any games we're going to look at, maybe except for the Jets, that we're going to say this is certainly a win. We're going on the road. Now we played well last week. How does the coach and the quarterback respond offensively from playing well last week to going against a very good defense this week? It's a total different game plan because last week the Chiefs defense just wasn't very good. There's no way to get around that. Now you're going to be faced with a little bit more resistance from the defensive side of the ball. And are we up to the challenge? We don't know the answer to that quite yet.
I'm looking at the Panthers, and they play kind of old school. The Achilles heel right now is the Eagles' defense. They're really struggling, and the numbers are kind of embarrassing. And the Panthers, lead the NFL with more than 35 minutes of possession per game.
Mm-hmm.
How does this, will Jonathan Gannon have to change up some things here in this game, knowing that?
My question to Jonathan Gannon is, why wouldn't you change up things? Not will you, but why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to trick Sam Darnold into doing something different? Why wouldn't you make the offense think that you're doing one thing and do something different? There's a reason why, as an offensive player, where teams disguise things, they start one way, they come the other way, or they blitz in certain situations. There's an advantage that teams get because of that. If you're playing one defense for the most part, 3-4, 4-3, 3-4, 4-3, that's what he continues to go back and forth with. But if you're playing just those two defenses, now an offensive team only has to prepare for that. So now I have so much more time to look into trick plays and all these other things that other teams wouldn't have the ability to look into, because you're worrying about this blitz and this exotic blitz and then that exotic blitz. And unfortunately, Jonathan Gannon has been so consistent with what he's doing defensively that offenses don't have to think. All they have to do is go out there and run plays, because we know exactly what you're going to be in, and we know exactly how to force you to do exactly what we want you to do. Now, to me, this would be the game to switch things up. Sam Darnold, he's played decently well this season, but why wouldn't you switch things up? You've had four games of the same thing. Why wouldn't you switch things up now just to give them a different look? And maybe your defense plays better than what you've been getting from this defensive side of the football if you do switch it up.
You know, we were looking at this stat earlier. They the third time in franchise history, the Eagles have had just two takeaways after four games. Mm-hmm. So this is historically bad defense. And the two teams before that were 1984 and one was 1998. In 1998, you probably played with a bunch of these guys who were on that team, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let me go down the list. You tell me whether you did you play with Kevin Turner? You didn't play.
No,
with him,
I
right?
did not.
All right, you didn't. How about Jeff Graham?
No.
Jason Dunn. Tight end. Was he there?
He was there early on in my career. Was he? You know what? He wasn't there. He came back a bunch. Big old guy.
Too. Yes. Yeah.
Big dude.
Play
with him, no.
All right, Jermaine Marbury.
Yeah, I played with
Jermaine. All right, Steve Everett. Was he gone by the time he got there?
He was gone. Yep.
Ian Beckles. Was he still there?
He was gone.
Richard Cooper was definitely gone. All right, now here are your defensive starters. Greg Jefferson.
No, gone.
Hollis.
He was there.
All right, Hugh was there.
He was there. Yep.
James Darling, linebacker.
He was gone.
James Willis, linebacker.
Gone.
William Thomas, was he still there?
He was not.
All right, Troy and Bobby were there.
Yeah, both of those guys.
Michael Zordich was gone by then, right?
He was gone, yep.
And Brian Dawkins was there.
Of course.
All right. It's interesting to go back and see these guys. Like, if you, I wonder if you sat down with a pen and pad, all the guys you played with in football, how many do you think you'd come up with?
Let's say it's 53 each year, or some of them overlap. I probably would come up with a fair amount of them, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if I went like position to position, I would probably come up with a pretty decent amount of. I would hope.
Yeah,
and
I would think
here's
you.
Here's the funny thing: I just got some of my memory tested. The lady said that I have a very good memory.
Well, there you go. That's a good sign.
That is a good sign. So I would hope that I would come up with a bunch of them. There are times where I go back and I see some of the alumni, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I played 4 years with this guy.
You didn't
I have
remember.
No clue of his
really?
Name. and it's the worst feeling in the world, because now I'm embracing somebody that I'm hugging.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what his name is. This is just bad.
That's awesome. All right. So when we look at this game, are you feeling good about it or not? Like right now?
As far as this team going on the road and winning, I don't have a really good feeling. I think we had a good showing last week against an average defense at best. Defensively, the Chiefs moved the ball up and down the field. I would be curious to see what happens with McCaffrey. I know he may be a game-time decision. I'm a bit worried about our defense, especially if we don't get better play, consistent play from our defensive line. If Jonathan Gannon goes into the game and says, we're not going to blitz, we're going to make Hargrave and Sweat and those guys, Barnett, Fletcher Cox, control the game just by themselves, I don't see us winning this football game. Now, if he tries to do different things and throw some blitzes and, you know, some different type of pressure, bring a cornerback, different things that you could possibly do. I think that gives us an advantage, and the game would be a lot closer. But it's hard for me to think that this team right now can go on the road and win in Carolina.
All right, let's get to the phones now. I'll talk to Dominic in Florida. Dominic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Dom?
Now, I just had a question about the Eagles. Like, how about, like, Westbrook? Why don't you go over there, man, show them some of your old tapes in the Eagles so they can utilize Miles Sanders a little better?
Well, that's a philosophy thing. I have to believe that Nick Sirianni knows what Miles Sanders is. He saw what the tape was last year. He's deciding. He's choosing to put the ball in the quarterback's hands instead of Miles Sanders. And it's obvious. And it's also obvious that he really, really likes Kenny Gainwell. When you hear him talk about Gainwell, you hear him start to think of different ways that he can use him. You know, that in this package and that package and running routes and different things like that. He really likes Kenny Gainwell, and that's part of the reason why we're not seeing the ball in Miles Sanders' hands as much.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, remember how back in the day with you and McNabb, the screenplay was dynamic with y'all two. You even won us a playoff game off a screen pass before.
Yeah, when he didn't throw it at his head, it was a good play.
Stop it.
No, I'm saying that
touch pass wasn't Favre's best.
It doesn't matter who it is. Like, any running back, they need to learn how to use the running backs. And I think he need to look at some old tapes, man, like, and really figure it out.
Yeah.
But he used a running back last year. He used Nyheim Hines. I think Miles Sanders is a very good player. I really do. I think that when you put the ball in his hands, he's an explosive player. He looks quicker to me when he has the ball in his hands this year. I can also watch him and understand the frustration that he's going through, because I would have to have believed that he thought that he was going to get a bunch of carries every single game, a bunch of touches every single game this season, and now he's not. And that's frustrating from a running back's perspective, especially if you ain't winning games. Listen, if we're winning games, then cool. You don't want to give me a ball, okay, we still winning. But if we're losing games and I'm still not getting the touches, then
this is a two-part question here, because the conclusion is that the coach somehow isn't enamored with Miles Sanders, or at least not as much as he is with Kenny Gainwell. Do you get that sense? And if you do get that sense, then how does that affect Miles Sanders mentally as a running back?
I do get that sense that he likes what he has in Kenny Gainwell. Well, we still got to run the ball. We'll run the ball with Kenny Gainwell then. He's not running the ball with either one. That to me is the bigger issue. Listen, if you like Kenny Gainwell better than Miles Sanders, I think in some aspects you would be wrong, especially the run game right now. Then run the ball with Kenny Gainwell. But you're not doing that with Kenny Gainwell either. So you know, to that point, I think that's a flaw. That's an error in the way that he's thinking at this point. But he wants to throw the ball. Kenny Gainwell is very good in the pass game. We saw that. I put up a couple clips on Twitter and Instagram that shows how versatile Kenny Gainwell is. He's a running back that you can put out in the slot. You can put him out wide. You can put him in the backfield so he can catch out of the backfield. And then with that same offense on the field, you can run the football. That's a valuable piece, because now the defense can't substitute if you want to do a hurry-up situation. That's a valuable piece. And if you have that guy like Kenny Gainwell is, then you want to use him effectively. Every time I hear Nick Sirianni talk about Kenny Gainwell, I hear him gushing about him. When I hear him talk about Miles Sanders, I don't feel that same type of energy. And I'm seeing that on the field as far as playing time as well.
Tyron Miles was a pretty good tweeter at one point. You know, Booby Miles, XXIV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wonder, you know, he must be biting his tongue a little bit here.
Well, I think he was told.
Yeah.
I know. I know I told him.
Yes, you did.
What'd you tell him, Ty?
No, I'm just saying.
Ty wasn't happy with
him. No. There was a time where he was mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him he should not be worried at all about who am I. Yeah. Just go do your business.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, he responded to you?
Yes, he was mm-hmm. upset with me, because I said that to this point he hadn't been an elite back. And I don't think that was controversial to this point. That doesn't mean he doesn't have elite ability. Brian, you think he's a good player. You wouldn't say to this point he's been an elite back, correct?
Not consistently enough. Absolutely.
That's what I mean. I'm saying, like, you were an elite back.
So what had he been saying to you?
I don't want to do all that. I'm just saying.
Well,
that.
maybe he commented back to you for that?
Yeah, privately.
Oh, okay.
I just told him to just, like, focus on your business. I think you guys want to hear this, though. It's only 40 seconds.
What do you got?
It's Sirianni talking about Gainwell. Because somebody talked about how Gainwell catches the ball. So the question is, do you compare him at all to McCaffrey? This was before McCaffrey was deemed doubtful for the game. And Sirianni's answer, I'll just let you guys read.
Okay.
You asked the question about it, so I'm not by any means trying to compare Kenny and Christian, and because they're both good players. One's been doing it for a long time. Kenny's just obviously starting. But I do see the similarities in that play strength, and I see the similarities in the ability to catch the football. I think sometimes when you get a back and you want to move him around and you want to do him stuff out of the backfield and you want to put him in the slot and you want to put him outside, when you start to put the guy outside and you get to put a guy in the slot, that's another level of hands that you have to have. Meaning, like, if you have to have a 6 to do this, you got to have an 8 to be out there wide. And so that's what I really see Christian doing, and then that's where I'm seeing that Kenny can be strong, that he has just such strong hands at the point of attack and just can pluck the ball out of the air.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Well, he's kind of saying it, right?
Well, if you're Miles Sanders, I don't know if you'd like to hear that.
Well, what I want to hear my coaches say is, we still got to run the dog on football. That's what I want to hear him say. There were times in my career, right, where, I would catch 7 balls and get 7 carries. And, you didn't mind because you're getting 14, 15 touches. But you're also, as a running back, a big part of your existence is someone putting the ball in your stomach and you making some people miss and running the football. That's how you get Miles Sanders going. Now, he caught the ball decently well out of the backfield, and I don't think he has great hands right now, so he can get better there. But put this kid in space. You're looking for offensive weapons? Get the ball to Miles Sanders in space. Find a way to design a play to get him in space. He is an explosive weapon that we're missing out on, all because we don't want to run the football. I think that's a major mistake when you talk about offensive football.
He's Booby Miles.
Is it possible, Brian, that he's a guy that plays favorites? And I understand that football, people think that football is just in this vacuum and it's just always just about the better player. We know contracts. He's my guy versus he's another person's guy. We know a lot of other stuff goes into it. It's not just as simple as the best players always play. Is it just at this point he just says he's my guy and I prefer my guy over the guy that Doug and him drafted?
That certainly could be part of it. And we've seen that happen before when you say, hey, I drafted this guy. We want things to work with this guy. The only problem with that philosophy, though, Ty, is you're not running the ball a lot with Gainwell either. I mean, you're just not running the ball. The philosophy, all those things could be true. Well, just run the ball with him then. Run the football.
Could be Penn State envy. You got that a little bit.
That's
right. It could be that.
How did that get here?
Well, I'm just saying. It could be that. It's out there.
No way. No one's hating on Penn State. There's no person.
Of course they're hating on Penn State. I heard Anthony say today, well, you know what? This is Penn State Iowa game. I'm no fan of Penn State because I'm a Temple man. It's out there. You heard that, right? You heard Anthony say that, didn't you?
So Anthony's not the coach. You're telling me that Sirianni goes, oh, hold on. I don't like Penn State.
Wait,
so I'm not going to give Sanders the ball.
Sirianni, the best he can do is Mount Union.
Right, so he should be jealous of Memphis. He should be of everybody. Why is he only jealous of Penn
jealous
State?
Of Jahan Dotson because he won him.
He's not jealous of Alabama because he's getting the ball to the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Alabama's different. Alabama's accepted. Penn State, there's envy. You know that. There's envy out there. Stop
more Penn State than Alabama? Yes. Come on, man.
Yes.
Stop.
Mike.
Up here there is.
Come on, Mike.
What are you kidding me? Right. Seriously, you don't notice this?
No.
Up here in this area?
I don't think it's as rampant as you think.
Oh, my God.
You got the rabbit ears.
It's totally rampant.
Yeah, you got the rabbit ears. You're looking. Wait, Penn State, what'd he say? Yeah, that's why he doesn't land. I don't know.
It's more Villanova envy in this area than it is Penn State.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
I'm one of those people that got beef with Villanova.
One sport.
Especially the girls back in the day.
Won the national championship.
One sport.
We're national champions in football as well. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. You win the national championship when you were there?
We did not. No, we did not. But it was after I was there. Late the blueprint.
Oh, so as soon as you left, they won the national championship?
No.
Not as soon as he left.
What, the year after?
No, it's the year after.
We can get this Westbrook out of here. We'll be pretty good.
All right, let's take a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, that music can only mean one thing. It's time for our fearless selections. Now, we were both 2-1 last week. That didn't do me any favors. I need to gain ground. Westbrook's got me by a game, I believe. Is that right, Tyrone?
That is correct. One Brian game is now up to 500. You are now one under 500.
One under 500. Okay. Brian, are you ready to get, to rock with your selections?
Absolutely. Westbrook's headed in the right direction. And this week, another 3-0 week for me. We're going to start in Washington.
Another? You haven't had one yet. We need another.
one other.
Okay.
Washington's playing the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are favored by 2. You know what? Washington defense at home, they win this game outright.
Ooh. Yeah, it's just outright. Some selection there.
That's how you start right there. Then we go back to Cincinnati. And for some reason, people have a lot of faith in the Bengals. They think that they're a pretty good team. Green Bay's on the road. They're only favored by 3.
It's a ridiculous line.
Nope. I'm not heading that direction, Mike. I'm headed for the Green Bay Packers cover.
See, that's a line that would talk the other way.
I know.
Fishy line.
I'm not headed in that direction.
Okay, you're going to take the Packers.
I'm taking the Packers. And this is a rule breaker for me right here. This is a personal rule breaker. I never thought I would be able to say this type of thing. But the Buffalo Bills are headed to Kansas City, and I was not impressed by the Kansas City Chiefs last week. The Chiefs are favored by 3. I got the Buffalo Bills winning this game outright.
You know, that's a solid selection if the game wasn't in Kansas City. But somehow that team's magic there. But I like it. I like the way you're thinking. All right, there are his 3 selections. I got to be honest with you. I don't believe in any of my picks this week. I really don't. To me, this was a difficult card. So I'm just crossing my fingers. Now, when I feel like I've got no faith in them, usually I do okay. So let's start with one college game. Wake Forest is one of these, all of a sudden they're good. They're 19th ranked in the nation. Wake Forest, please. They were an 11-point favorite at Syracuse this Saturday. And that line with the wise guy money coming in has shrunk to 6. 5-point shrinkage of the line. I got Syracuse maybe an outright winner with the 6.
Really?
That's yes. Funny. I'm taking the Cuse. All right, now.
It hasn't been good since Donovan McNabb was there.
It's speaking to me, that line. Syracuse might not be that bad. All right, Cowboys, I'm going to take them. -7 against the Giants. I don't believe in the Giants' resurgence. I think the Cowboys, I know I'm giving 7. That's a big line, but I think the Cowboys will cover that with their potent offense. And then I don't even like this game, but I nothing else stood out to me. I'm going to believe in John Gruden and the Raiders here, -5.5. Now, when you get to that 5-point line, it's always hairy. But the Bears, I don't know. I don't know if the kid's ready to produce. So I'm going to take the Raiders -5.5. And those are my selections. And I got a bonus selection in college football. Yes, I'm looking. I'm going to use the Nebraska Cornhuskers as a bonus selection this week. They are a 3-point underdog against Michigan. I actually think Nebraska can win the game. A monster win for the Huskers.
Where's that game at?
The game's at Nebraska.
Okay.
Night game, too, in Omaha.
Line's thin.
It's very thin.
Michigan's looked great.
Very thin.
Other than against Rutgers.
I think Nebraska outright winner. But that's those are selections.
They have red on in the stadium. Was it a red out? Is that what
might be a red out
there?
In Nebraska. This could be a monster win for them. I don't think Michigan. I think Michigan's flimsy. A flimsy champ.
They've been undefeated.
Yeah, I know.
They've looked good.
Mm-hmm. Nebraska, not ready for that spot
the
yet.
The line screams, though, it does. Nebraska.
I was going to make that my feature pick, but I couldn't ignore the 5-point shrinkage of that Syracuse line. So there you go. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Mike in Atlanta. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good.
I wanted to talk about, I'm sorry, I want to get off the subject. I know you're talking about the Eagles, but I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons.
Go ahead. Brian's got some good views on Ben Simmons. He loves him.
The guy is just, he's very immature as far as my opinion goes. He can't take any criticism. I've gone to several games and watched him in the warm-ups where he can shoot threes all day long. He can make free throws. He can do it all. But when the game's on the line, he just folds up to it. I mean, it just goes away.
Yeah, it's a very strange phenomenon.
I mean, you're paying the guy $40-something million a season, and the thing about it is, I just don't think he's worth it, to be honest with you. And secondly, he just doesn't have the maturity to.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, Mike, that he's out. He's out of here. He's not coming back here.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it, there's such a great market for him. There would be somebody in line to get him right now. I think everybody sees, you know, they see that he's not capable of being a superstar, and, you know, he can't hold up his end of the bargain.
I don't know if they look at it that way, to be honest with you. I think they look at it like, let's make the deal right for us. We'll still make the deal. We'd love to have him. But, you know, the Sixers' price is too high for now. But next month?
I'd love them to try and make a swing a deal with Portland and get Damian Lillard. But the thing about it is, I just don't think that's even possible.
Well, let me read what the experts are saying here in The Athletic to cover the NBA. That deal isn't happening for a number of reasons, chief among them the fact that Lillard, for now, has backed off quite a bit when it comes to his desire to be elsewhere. As the Blazers beat writer wrote recently, Lillard is, quote, focused on going out on his shield and trying yet to take the Blazers to that elusive next level.
That ain't happening.
No, it's not. And that's what I say. He'll find out in a month that's not going to happen, Mike.
Yeah, that ain't
happening. Right, but I'm totally in agreement with you. If I were Philadelphia, I would literally just let him sit out the entire season. I wouldn't even waste my time, because at this point, he has no leverage at this point.
Well, you don't want him to sit out the season because you want to get something for him that can help your team ascend in the playoffs. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to spite it and mess up yourself. But if you extend this to February, we're talking about this early run, the trade deadline. If you extend to the trade deadline, all of a sudden people are going to shrink up and go, okay, you need to trade him now, or you're going to keep him for the whole season. So maybe the offer won't be as good.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll say, you know, he can't help my team at this point, because now we're getting closer to the playoffs where we know he can't help our team. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll say that.
Yeah,
but you know what? There's been a lot of talk about Ben not being able to accept criticism. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I honestly believe that he just does not like the style of basketball that he's forced to play with Joel Embiid. I really don't think that he likes it.
Well, but hold on. Okay, I get that point. But I think that's like totally overvalued, because Embiid will give him a lot of space when he comes out up top. How does he justify at all saying this style doesn't fit my game when my man won't shoot it?
Well, that's
he's got no leg to stand on.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, it's so hard to try to understand Ben. I mean, it's just so hard to understand him. Like, because my question is, no matter what team you go to, you're going to be criticized there, no matter what, especially if you play the same way that you've been playing. Now, what better team to go to than a team that has a bona fide all-star MVP than Joel Embiid? I mean, and win right away. There's no better situation. So it's just hard to understand it. But it's also hard for me to think that he's feeling, well, I'm getting criticized too much in Philly, and if I go play the same game somewhere else, they wouldn't say anything.
I think he is oblivious to that. I really do. I think he is oblivious to the fact that people say you don't shoot the basketball, and he goes, so what?
Well, but that's going to happen no matter what. And really, this is his management side of things. If they're hearing that from him, then they have to be honest with him and say, listen, Ben, that's going to happen anywhere. We will be doing you a disservice to make you think that you can go to any team on the West Coast, any of those California teams, and that they wouldn't have the same complaint. That just doesn't make any sense. That would be crazy to believe that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. By the way, his condo, you know, it's for sale. Yeah, and the rich residences. 3.1. I bet you could get it for 2.8.
2.8. I got about one, and I got $1 million.
Well, 3,500 square feet, plenty of room for you. You and the fam.
I have a problem with the condo in general. The thought of a condo just doesn't fit with me, because I don't like condo fees.
He's a woodsman.
Yeah, well, you'll still have the woodsman. I mean, you get the Brooklyn pad, and you go down there anyway. So you get the condo here, and it's closer to you.
Listen, if Ben wants to do the city a favor and give me his condo for half price, I'm willing to pay 1.5 right now, cash money.
Quick close. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Cash.
Well, we'll try to get word to him.
Because, you know, otherwise you're waiting the 45 days and it can fall through. Brian's talking about an all-cash deal.
Yeah. I'm trying to help the kid out right here.
That's half price.
But that would recoup some of the fine money he's losing.
Yeah.
Because he got fined heavy again for missing yesterday. He didn't realize another fine.
Yep.
I would
put that joker right back on the market. As soon as he gave me the keys, it would be right back on the market.
So you'd make $1.5 million right out of the shoe.
That's right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll come down the home stretch with Brian Westbrook here on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
4:44, Mike Missinelli Show. And in case you're interested in baseball today, all day you got ball on your television screen right now. The White Sox in danger of losing, going down 0-2 with Tony La Russa, Mr. Genius. They had the lead. It's now tied with the Houston Astros in the sixth inning. And the Braves are underway. Charlie Morton and Corbin Burnes in a big pitching matchup against the Brew Crew.
Yeah, I like the Brewers to sweep the Braves.
Sweep them.
Yes. I don't respect this Braves team at all.
You don't respect Charlie Morton either?
Nope.
You sleep on Charlie Morton?
No, I think he'll get tagged for about five today.
I think Charlie's going to get him into seven.
He might give him five runs over seven innings.
No, he's not giving up the five runs. Come on. All right, let's go. Let's get a Pat in Bywood. Pat? What's up, Pat?
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. What I was calling about, you started to touch on the game last night, and that's kind of what I called
the Sixers.
I haven't heard
Sixers preseason game. Yes.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many comments on the announcers.
Kate Scott was her debut last night. The female play-by-play announcer. And I think actually it's a good sign that you haven't heard the comments, because I think that means that they liked her.
Correct. Okay. Well, here's the other side of it. I don't think she's very good. Her voice is very small.
That's not true.
They should have stayed local. There's certainly at least a couple of teams.
Well, it's one game.
Yeah, well, her voice isn't going to get any larger. Mike.
Well, but you'll get used to the voice. So you're not really used to her voice at all in a play-by-play situation here, especially with Zumoff doing it for so long. I think it's kind of an unfair shot.
Really?
I think after one game, I think it's a very unfair shot. I thought she did a very good game. Her voice is her voice. It's not going to be like Gus Johnson. It's going to be her own voice.
Well, I was just thinking that there's at least a couple of females in Philadelphia that could do a job as she.
Yeah, but why would they have to be from Philadelphia? If she was the best candidate, like what? I don't understand what the beef would be.
We got to give her a chance. Got to give her a chance.
Local would be better.
Why? What's the difference? Al is not local.
We could go on to the color guy. The color guy isn't that great either.
Oh, my God. This guy.
He's not happy.
He's a hater. He is a hater.
Just a hater.
Yeah. A curmudgeon call, man.
Can he hear himself?
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm just wondering, did you hear his voice? I'm just saying, if you're going to talk voice, come on, buddy. Like, come on. He sounded, he was a stuttering mess just now.
He sounds like an older guy.
Nah, he's not that old. I bet you he's like 48.
Yeah, he's probably an older guy. He's not used to hearing a female voice doing basketball. And, you know, that's...
She's really good, but Doris Burke, I mean, she's not only good, but she's very knowledgeable. And I don't mind a female doing the broadcast. I think you got to give them an opportunity. And I listened a little bit last night. I had no problem at all.
At all.
Kate. I thought she did.
I agree.
She's great.
I think the thing about her is she knows to kind of like not overpower I thought it was perfect and blend with the analyst.
I agree.
The way
with
she
that.
Did it.
Also, perhaps our most, probably the most legendary broadcaster we had. The number one and number two.
Harry wasn't from here.
He's from outside Chicago.
Yeah.
Gene Hart was from New York.
Yeah.
Did he have a problem with those guys? They weren't local. When it comes down to it, that guy doesn't like to hear a female voice and just didn't want to say it.
That's definitely
because it can't be, you have to be local.
Yeah.
Because again, Harry and Gene, when I was a kid, Gene was the guy.
Yeah.
And Harry was still did it for another 20 years. He was the guy. The Sixer guy
back in the day was really good. Neil Funk.
Yes.
Wasn't a Philadelphia guy.
Yeah. And that's when Zumoff was in the studio.
That's right.
Prism and them.
That's correct.
When I was a kid. Yeah.
Neil Funk. And then he went on did the Bulls games.
Right. It's not a requirement to be from here to be good.
No. Scott and Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Mike, you missed. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Scott?
First of all, it's been an honor to be on with B West. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Doing well, Scott.
Hey, listen, real quick, two things. I just want to say, B West, my favorite memory of you was watching you down in Tampa Bay, October 21st, 2006, right before that 61-yard field goal was kicked. You had the go-ahead touchdown. That run was magical. I just
you
wanted
run
to
run that doggone
you,
game.
Give you a,
he had it.
Yeah.
Our great defense
that, but,
gave listen, up too many yards. 11 took that long field goal.
Defense gave up too many yards.
Mike, you missed. Earlier in the week, you talked about the Penn State Nittany Lions, and someone asked you, and you said, let me see how the week goes. Right now, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
Are you feeling it now?
No.
Oh.
Listen, I would love to feel it. I think Iowa's a pretty powerful team. They've had trouble running the ball. They ran it a little bit last week. I think the quarterback's going to have to make some plays.
Yeah.
I think that Iowa will defend Jahan Dotson and take, there's a lot of things that I don't like about this game.
They have a great secondary there. They lead the.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'll watch the game with great interest, obviously. I think Iowa's got a powerful squad.
Well, my heart says that they're going to win it, but yeah, this could be a tough one. But hopefully we're wrong on this.
It's not like I'm not used to it.
All right, well, listen, guys, I'm gonna hang up now. But thanks.
All right, man. Yeah, see, well, now I'm gonna tell you if they win this game, they don't beat Ohio State.
Wait, why?
Because this team does not have the look of an undefeated team to me.
See, you.
They just don't. They're not.
Is it because you're jealous of Penn State?
No, they're not strong enough.
That was because you're jealous of Penn State.
I expected that they'd be able to run the football a little bit. They don't.
That's a good point. Now, you do have the speed outside.
Yeah, he's a great player.
And the quarterback has taken a step you didn't expect, because no one expected him. He's like, 11-3, touchdown to interceptions? That's pretty good.
He took a step against Auburn.
Not just.
He slept walk through Villanova.
All right. He hit the opening pass. I mean,
yeah, sent me through a couple bombs.
That's all you need in that particular game. I think that the offense, the key thing is, will he be turnover free? If he's turnover free, he can win. Iowa gets all their stuff off of turnovers. Can they, if Clifford's turnover free, Penn State wins. If Clifford gives the ball to the other team, they lose because Iowa doesn't only intercept it, they run them things back. It's clearly they practice that.
Listen, I wish I believed a little more in the quarterback. I wish I had the faith in the quarterback that you're now displaying.
What I'm saying is I think he can be careful. I think as long as you punt, you win. If you turn it over, I would beat you. That's what I'm talking about.
He looked all right against Indiana.
That's what I mean.
That defense is real. I don't know. Who knows? It's 2.5 to Penn State line a little bit. 2.5 in Iowa?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, all right. Nittany Lions win it.
As long as they don't turn it over. Now, I'm not saying
I just changed my mind.
See?
I talked to you.
See that, Brian? That's good job by you, Brian. Usually you don't know what Brian.
Yeah, Brian couldn't care less.
I could get. I know that Villanova is going down to JMU, going to get
big
them
one. Oh, that's right. That big is one. A big one.
Big one. Yeah.
They're number three, JMU.
I'm going to set a line on this one. It's the Mike Mussinelli line on this game.
Okay.
JMU at home. I make them a 4.5-point choice.
I was going to say 5. We're going to win this thing outright. I talked to Mark Ferrante this afternoon. We're going to win this thing outright. No doubt about it.
All right. Well, I hope they do for your sake.
There's a line.
What's the line?
What's the actual line?
What's the actual line?
I would say 5.
It is 8.
Is there a line on this?
They said it was.
FCS game?
Yeah, they got some.
I don't think
it's
a line.
They played Penn State tough. Took them to the wire.
They
won all their other games. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Penn State was watching The Wire as they played Villanova.
No, I'm looking.
Why? There's no line on this game. It's an FCS game.
They got certain places that runs. Yeah. Let me look. It's 3.5.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's a
Villanova line. I don't know if you can bet it everywhere.
That's a Villanova line.
It's 3.5.
That's right.
There. Now, I don't think that's not at our Rivers place, but you know.
Yeah.
But some place, if you all really right. want to find it, you can bet
listen,
it.
I hope 3.5. I hope the Cats, I'm a fan of Ferrante and the program.
There you go.
All right. Brian, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
We'll talk to Brian on Monday following the Eagles game on Sunday. It's rolling to the 5 o'clock hour again. At stake with a great call is a autographed Travis Konecny jersey. All you got to do is present a really good call, and we'll qualify you courtesy of AAA. Mike Mussinelli Show continues.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.